Okay, good morning, church and friends. So good to be together today to worship our great God and Father. And we want to welcome all of you that are visiting, and I hope and pray that you have so far experienced a very special worship of God, and that you will be impacted by the Word of God today as well. We are in the midst of some great things and some encouraging things that are going on in the kingdom of God, especially in North Carolina, and I wanted to share those with you. We recently had a few of the disciples, Rodney and Jennifer and Eric and Paulette, attend last Sunday the church service in Wilmington, North Carolina, and the Wilmington church has now become, after being planted some 7 years ago, has now become financially self-supporting, and they're on their own. 50 disciples there, amen. And that is great news. There is a couple that's moving to Silva, North Carolina, and they are planning on building a retreat center for disciples to be able to come, and they'll be part of the Asheville Church, and so they'll be worshiping with them for a while, and then hopefully we'll begin a house church there, and as you know, the dream would be for that house church to become a church as well, and it's home to Western Carolina University there. Also, there is a house church that is starting in Greenville, North Carolina. So that's the home of East Carolina University. And we are hoping and praying that that house church develops and grows and becomes its own congregation as well. And then our brothers and sisters in Greensboro, they have about 30 disciples meeting in Winston-Salem. And so they decided to have their first service on their own. They're not going to be on their own yet, but they said, let's go ahead and have a service. And they had 50 people come out to their very first service. So hopefully not very long from now, we'll also see not just the house church, but a church to be in Winston-Salem. Amen. So great things going on all around us. Of course, we continue to pray for Tim and Brooke and our church planting there in Boone, North Carolina. Also, you can be praying. We've posted on Disciples Today that we are looking for a campus ministry position for male and female for our campus ministries. And so it is on Disciples Today, but we pray that you'll be praying about that and as well mentioning to different people that you might know as well who might be interested in interviewing for that. So a lot of really great things going on all around us here in the church and as well in North Carolina. But today, I wanted to preach a message to you that I've entitled, Embrace the Place. Trust God no matter what. Embrace the place and trust God no matter what. You can go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say Habakkuk. Now you can say God bless you. All right, okay. Habakkuk, yeah, it sounds kind of like a sneeze almost. Gesundheit, all right. We're going to be studying about Habakkuk and some of the things that he learned. And that really, I believe, relate to each of us today. But before that, I was wondering, did you hear the one about the guy that was in California walking along the beach and he was praying to God? And he was praying so fervently and he just reached out to God and he said, God, would you please give me one wish? Just please, God, just one wish. Well, the skies parted and a voice came from above. And the voice said, you know, since you've been so faithful, I'm going to grant you that one wish. And so the young man said, great. And he thought about it for a minute. And then he said, God, I'd like for you to build a bridge from California all the way to Hawaii so I can drive there anytime I want. Well, there was silence from above for a little while. And then a response came back and said, well, that seems a little materialistic. There's a lot of logistics involved in that. Why don't you think of something that would bring more glory to me? And so the man thought about it for a second and he said, okay, I want to understand women. I want to know why they cry. I want to know when what they're thinking when they give me the silent treatment. I want to know what they really mean when they say nothing. I really want to understand and know what they're feeling because I truly want to love them. God paused for a while. And then he responded, well, how many lanes do you want for that bridge? Trying to understand, huh? Understand women. Go, what does that have to do with the message? Well, Habakkuk is a story in God's word of 3 chapters. And it's a story, normally the prophet would be relaying a message of God to the people. But Habakkuk is different. It's a prayer of Habakkuk to God, and it's recorded in all 3 chapters. And he pours his heart out over the situation that's taking place there in Judah. The leaders are corrupt of Judah. They're oppressing the people and the poor. There's violence that's taking place all over Judah. There is greed and corruption. And there is injustice taking place. There is also the threat of the nation Babylon that will besiege Judah several times over a number of years. Eventually, it will wind up burning the city, destroying the temple, killing, slaughtering many of the people, and taking a good number of them captive to be slaves back to Babylon. And so Habakkuk sees all of this that's going on, and he pours his heart out to God, and he has this prayer. And I want us to study it together. The 3 things that I want us to learn from chapters 1, 2, and 3 is that, number one, and I think this definitely relates to us today, he prays a prayer and he asks questions of God. And Habakkuk, in essence, says, does God really care? I wonder if you've ever felt that. Point number two, Habakkuk says or infers, is God really fair? And point number three, he says, is God really there? Now, we've been studying, Rodney's been preaching a series on the divisive nature of sin. And I want to continue in that. As I talk about today, does God have the right to judge you and I? Because people wonder about that today. And we too see a lot of injustice in our world. We've experienced a lot of pain in the world. Certainly 2 world wars saw incredible devastation. The Holocaust, where 6 million Jews lost their lives. We've seen genocides all over, genocide in Rwanda. We've seen ethnic cleansing in Kosovo. We've seen the killing fields of Cambodia. We experienced 9/11 here in our country. We see the violent crimes and the injustices and the hatred and the racism that takes place. in our own country. And we see all this. And we too could say, does God care? Is God really fair? And is God even there? Well, Habakkuk asked this. And look with me in chapter 1. Verse 1, the Bible says, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long? How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounding. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Wow. That's pretty raw. That's pretty honest. And I'm here to tell you that God wants you to be honest, to be real about what you see and what you really feel. He says, God, it seems like the law is paralyzed. It seems like, you know, if we want to say the chosen are frozen, there's nothing they can do. We see all this injustice. And God, why do you make me look upon all this? It seems like you've made me care about this. Because you've shown me Jesus. We would say that. He could say, you've taught me in the law. You've taught me in the word, you know, to do what is right, to love what is right. You make me care, and it seems like you don't care. Some of us, I think, can learn, first of all, a great deal from this about being real and honest in our prayer with God. I think sometimes when we pray to God, we can be too holy. There's that temptation. God, you're so incredible, you're so great, you're so sovereign, you're so perfect, and he is. But we can just pray that prayer and never get deep about what we're really feeling. We can sometimes not only be too holy, sometimes we might be too humble. Oh God, you know me, it's just I'm no good, I'm weak, I'm pathetic, I'm pitiful, you know. And, well, we need to pray humbly too. But we can pray too holy. We can pray too humbly. Many of us pray maybe too hurriedly. We're in such a hurry. We just throw out a quick prayer, and then we wonder, you know, how come God's not doing this? He's not working here. He's not, you know, changing this. And what God wants is your honesty. He wants you to really speak to him about what you see and what you feel. See, Judah, as we said, was in decline morally and spiritually and culturally. Babylon was lurking out there, you know, and they were overtaking other nations. And they were about to overtake them. And he sees all this violence. And you wonder, like, ah. Sometimes we don't understand things and we rush. We rush to a judgment about God. In our universities, college professors love to throw out. Well, if God is loving and God is all-powerful, then there should be no evil or no suffering. But since there is evil and there is suffering, therefore our conclusion is that God is not loving, he's not all-powerful, or maybe he's just not God. He's not there. And so they, you know, plant these seeds into our young. And so we run with that. Yeah, that makes sense. And so then we'll disregard God. And yeah, he doesn't have a right to judge me, because he doesn't really care. Well, Habakkuk shares his heart. He shares his emotion, his pain. And we've all been there. We've been there when we look at the injustices in the world. But hey, bring it home. We're there on a personal level sometimes. When we get that medical diagnosis in the office, oh God, how can this happen to me? Do you really care? This isn't fair. Are you there? Maybe it's some type of problem or challenge, a relationship with your parent or a relationship with your child. Maybe it's the job. Maybe, like I said, it's an illness. It's a disease. It's a death. It's a loss. It's different particular pains that you go through. And you wonder those questions. Well, Habakkuk says it for us right here. He lays it out. And then, amazingly, here, you get God's answer. And in verse 5, the Bible says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up. God is going to raise up. He's going to use the Babylonians, who were known as ferocious and violent, and who would overthrow these nations, beheading people, slaughtering people. He says, I'm raising them up, that ruthless and that impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves, and they promote their own honor. So we go, oh, that's the answer. You see, sometimes we pray to God to understand certain pain and hurts and challenges, and we don't like the answer that God gives us. God says, I'm going to do something so amazing, Habakkuk. I do care. I do care about the injustices that are going on. I do care about the pain you're going through. I do care about what's going on in the world and what's going on in your nation and what's going on in your life. But I'm going to do something that's so amazing, people wouldn't even believe it if they were told. See, sometimes God is speaking to you, but you're not listening. God will tell you what he is going to do. He will reveal it in time. But when he says, you wouldn't even believe it if you were told, God will give you the strength and the perspective and the comfort and the energy to be able to go on no matter what you're going through. And he'll often do that through teaching you in his word. But he says, you wouldn't believe it even if you were told. See, a lot of people don't even listen to the word of God. And so they won't listen to what God is saying or doing. And that gets them in trouble. When we don't listen, and then take it a step further, listening is real good. But like Jesus told the people who believed in him in John chapter 8, he says, it's great that you believe in me. It's great that you're listening to me preach today. But if you really want to be a disciple and you really want to know the truth, you got to hold to my teachings. And when you hold to my teachings, you will then know the truth. And that truth will set you free. You see, he is saying, I have a plan. I am going to judge. And I will judge every injustice that takes place, be it my people or the lost. He says, I will do that. I will even use, in this case, this brutal nation to bring judgment and to bring discipline and to disciple my people. And he's going to go on and explain that, you know, Babylon 2 is also going to get judged. But he says, he gives hope to his people. He says, I'm going to disciple my people, and I'm going to bring you through this, and I'm going to restore you, and I'm going to make you what you need to be. That's a hard, hard lesson sometimes. But God loves, God cares, God will pay each injustice. God also says here, the Bible says God demonstrates in Romans 8:28 his own love for us, right, by sending Christ. And we know that in all things, God works for the good. He's not saying that all things are good that happen in the world. But God says, I will work in all things for the good of my people. For those who've been called according to my purpose. And he says, I will also use everything for your good to conform you to be more like Christ. Because if we're more like Jesus, then we'll know life, we'll experience freedom, and we will have impact. And he says, so I'm going to do that. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get so focused on the problem situation in my life and wanting that to change or wanting to get to another place, I don't embrace the place where God has me and look to see what is God teaching me? What is God telling me? Me. What if I really obeyed the scriptures here? What if you took that problem in your life right now? Think about it. What's that problem in your life that has consumed you? What's that problem in your life that's dominated your thoughts? What's that problem in your life that has kept you paralyzed? You know, where you don't feel like you can move on. You just think about this all the time. You have what I might refer to as destination disease. I'm looking forward to this person changing in my life. That's the problem. I'm looking forward to the situation changing. And I'm looking at that, and I'm missing what God is telling me right now I don't see the amazing thing God's going to do even if I was told. But what if I looked at my problem and I said, God, don't lose it. Use it. See, we look at these things and we just say, okay, I just rather not deal with it, get it out of here. And God says, I want to use it in your life to make you more like Jesus. In Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk says this in verse 1. Well, first of all, Habakkuk is telling them, okay, that's what you're going to do. You're going to bring these people. He says then, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. And then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Okay, is God fair when he does these things? Absolutely. God says, though, you've got to wait. Ah, I hate that one. I don't know about you, I'm not good at waiting, you know. I don't like to wait, period. You know, I mean, it's like when I pull into the Chick-fil-A, right? I'm hungry. I'm ready for my Chick-fil-A. And there's always a line that takes you two or three times around and around. I hate waiting when you go to the doctor's office. It's like, what do you do while you sit there, right? You know, you're just waiting. You know, it's like, oh, and then you're around everyone who's sneezing, coughing, hacking, you know, and it's like, ah, I'm just going to get whatever they have in addition to what I'm here for. I don't like to wait. But God says, I need you to wait. And he says, don't focus on the length of time. Focus on the I have an appointed time. I know that. Focus on the cause or the end. I have a purpose, and I'm working on that purpose. You know, it's hard sometimes to understand the ways of God and the thinking of God. Well, I think the Bible said something about that, right? Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and 9, it says, for my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. So let me give you this advice from God's word. When you have a hard time tracking or tracing the head of God, the thoughts, or the hand of God, his ways, when you're having a hard time tracking or tracing the hand or the head, trust the heart of God. He does love you. He does have a plan. He is the creator, and he is going to lead you through. And when you trust the heart of God, then you'll see what God is teaching you. Do I have the answer for why all these things, the horrible things happen? No, I don't. But I do know God has a plan. God's going to use it. God's going to want to use me in the midst of that, and that God loves me. And therefore, I can wait. He says the righteous will live by faith in Habakkuk 2:4. That's what he's asking us to do. You know, remember the story of Joseph in Genesis 50, where he says that he's with his brothers who had betrayed him, sold him into slavery, mistreated him, and forgot about him, told their dad, oh, he died out there in the field, you know. They just treated him horribly. And he went through slavery. He had to go through false accusations. He had to go through imprisonments. And he had to go through all of that for year after year after year in his life. And now he's before his brothers. He's been released. God had a plan all along. When you look at it face value, man, how in the world could my brothers have done this to me? How could they have mistreated me? How could they have, you know, put me through all this and I got put in slavery and then I was accused falsely and then I was put in prison and then I was forgotten about in prison. And year after year after year, I'm going through this suffering with no end in sight. But then God had a plan, and because he could interpret dreams, he raises them up. And he becomes the number two man in Egypt. And when a famine takes place, Joseph is the one who winds up saving the people, providing for them, and even saving his own family. And when his brothers are before him and they're scared stiff and they find out, you know, it's Joseph, a little time later, they're like, oh man, after our dad dies, this is it. We're done. He's going to deal with us now. He was just holding out because, you know, dad was alive. And now we're done. He's going to treat us the same way. And he says, guys, you intended what you did for harm. I ain't going to lie about that. That wasn't good. There was nothing good about that. But God had a different plan. And God used it for good. So that I'm here before you, and I'm not going to be in the place of God with you guys. You have nothing to worry about. He got it, what God was doing in his life. I shared with you about a brother in Christ. He's in the Chicago church when I was leading the church in Chicago. And a number of years ago, I've shared with you about Joe Dubowski and his daughter, who was one of the victims of a mass shooting that took place on campus at Northern Illinois University on Valentine's Day. She was a disciple, and she was shot, and she was killed. Joe and his wife, Laura, just obviously, you can only imagine the grief and the pain and just crying out, why? How could this be? And not understanding that we live in such a fallen world with people with free will and choices to those consequences to those choices. And he wrestled and he struggled and he mourned and he cried, but he and his wife, being disciples, I can't trace sometimes the hand or the head of God, but I can trust his heart. So what is God telling me? And he went back to school. He actually went to school at Northern Illinois University. And he got his degree in grief counseling. And now a big part of his life is bringing comfort and strength to others who've gone through similar tragedies and others like that. And when we had the students that were shot here at UNCC, one of our sisters reached out to us and said, do you think, Joe, that I could talk to Joe so I could get some advice, because I know the mother of one of those, of her son who was shot and killed at UNCC. We said, absolutely, and of course, he'd reached out and they talked. God has a plan. I've shared with you, it's amazing to me, you know, when I was a missionary in South Africa and we had our first two children, our twins, and Jonathan, and my son Joshua was born and he was doing great in the hospital, and then we got those words no parent ever wants to hear. After several weeks, that phone call, they hadn't come home yet. Their lungs were still being developed, and the doctor said, please get over here today. We were there every day, but, you know, being with our children, of course, all throughout the day. But he called early and said, you need to get here now, because the heart of your son is giving out. We had people praying all over the world. We had thousands upon thousands of people praying in faith and desperation, God, spare Ron and Lavanya's son. Get him through it. We prayed and we prayed. But after a day of struggle and fight, he passed away. I can remember to this day, it's almost 28 years ago, walking into that hospital room and crushed and broken and tears flowing. But I remember holding my son's hand, seeing him all hooked up to these tubes, and giving his last few breaths, and promising him God had a plan for your life. It was a short one, but I promise you, Daddy will be faithful. And somehow, some way, I'll use this. I will use your life and this tragedy for good and for others. Oh, you better believe I'm going to be faithful, because I'm going to be, you know, after I hug Jesus, you know, I'm looking for Josh, you know. I'll be faithful. I didn't sign up to be that person. We've had people come from all over the world who've lost children to spend a night or a couple of nights with us to talk and to help to get them through it. And often what people have told us, they say, you know what? The thing that's helped us the most is the fact you trusted God no matter what. You still have your joy and your faith, and you know that God is going to use that situation. Just the fact that you're going on with joy, trusting Him, has strengthened us. We've gone to different cities to be with people. That's not fun. I don't like that waiting, being with them in the hospital. I've been there. I've gone to Boston for a couple that we love and cherish in the kingdom of God who lost their child, to be with them during that time. It's not the ministry that I would have signed up for. But I know God has a plan. And so I embrace the place. And you trust God no matter what. And in closing, in chapter 3, is God there? It says, in Habakkuk 3, he says, Lord, verse 2, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our day and in our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. In the beginning, Habakkuk was praying honestly, God, do something. Punish these people. Punish Judah. Deal with Babylon. Just all the injustice, all the oppression, all the wrong. Just wipe them out. Now he says, God, in your wrath, remember mercy. Because here's two facts. You can count on it. God says, every injustice in the world will be met with my justice. And here's the second fact. I'll just tell you. Every one of you wants justice in this world until you need mercy. You want justice for everything until you need mercy. And every injustice needed to pay the price and needed to be met with God's justice. Habakkuk says, I know about your fame. I know about your greatness. You have the right to judge because you're the creator. You have the right to judge because you're perfect. You have the right to judge because you are love. You not only love us, but you showed that love for us. And God, when I'm going through things I don't understand, I can wait. I can wait on you to reveal the plan because you waited on me. I can love, and I will love, as you've challenged me, the way you've loved me. And I will forgive as you have forgiven me. You see, when I hold to his word, when I listen to what he's telling me, he'll change you. He'll love you, and he'll set you free. And he'll get you through, and he'll use it. I can wait because God waited on me when I was arrogant and independent, and I needed his grace. And he waited, and he waited. Jesus waited through two trials of false accusations. He didn't respond. He waited. Jesus waited when they put those thorns on his head. I'm not going to respond because I'm going to pay for all the injustice, all the sins of Ron, and all the sins of you, and all the sins of the world. I will wait, and I will die as a perfect offering for their sins. Man, Jesus waited as the crown of thorns was placed on his head. He waited as the punches struck his face, as the whip struck his back, as the flesh was torn from his body, as the mockery came and the beating. He waited. Does God really care? Oh, yeah. Is God really fair? Oh, he's real fair. And I thank God that the injustices that I've committed, the sin that I've committed, he took the penalty for me. And he gave me mercy instead of justice. And is God there? Oh, God is there. Well, where is God when I'm going through this challenge? God is in the same place he was when he watched his son be beaten on that cross. He's there. Our God is a great God. He has the right to judge. God does care. God is fair, and God will be there for you, and we will listen to our God. We will submit to our God, and we will use the situations in our life to be transformed to be like Jesus. And we will use those situations in our life to bring glory to God. And like Joseph said, yeah, you meant it for bad, he meant it for good, and it's for the purpose of saving many lives. And all of God's people said, amen.